Just want to say we want to welcome Tanya, who's a friend of Heartlands Church. She'll tell you a little bit more about herself, but I want to pray and say thank you, Lord, for a gift to the body, her love of the church, and her service to the kingdom of God, and just that she's taken time to come and be with us and hear God on behalf of for us. And so, Father, I commit Tanya today, and as the word goes out, we do pray for the oracles of God to be spoken through her. We honor your word. We lift it up. We hold it in high esteem. It is the truth, the only truth. And so today, as Tanya ministers to us, Lord, we pray for just a freedom in this house and yes. Liberty to break out in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you,
amen.
Milan, thank you very much. It's always so exciting, isn't it, to be part of God's household. You know what's so exciting for me is that I can come here from a totally different household, but I feel as though I'm part of the family here. And that says something about you guys, that you welcome people like me so readily. And it just makes it so much easier for when the Lord wants to work in me and through me. And I don't know about you, but during that worship time, especially at the end, what I had the picture of the people in this church, I saw you with your crowns. And now I know this is all going to happen one day, but I almost kind of had a little preview of what God was saying in Revelation, where the Bible says we take our crowns, our Stephanos, which is the crown that like an athlete would wear, and we throw it in front of the Lord. And I had a picture of that, what was happening in our worship this morning. So I just want to commend the worship team as they so graciously and sensitively led us into God's presence this morning, and I certainly really felt that God's presence was here in a mighty way. I don't know about you, but you know, I know it starts at the front. That's why I like to sit in the front, you know. If you're in the back, anyway, I won't say anything about that. Anyway, but so I'm from Belito. I grew up on the KZN coast, and met my husband and married. We were farming until God changed our trajectory totally. And we went into the ministry and ministered in Richmond in KZN for over 20 years before handing that church over and going to Belito to take over the church there. And we were there for just over a year, and my husband passed away with, he had a lung disease, but he also had COVID, so that didn't help matters. And so I was left and now what do you do with the spare part? But I'm very thankful that we had a couple that came in, Kurt and Shannon. And he didn't look at me and say, well, what am I going to do with you? But he recognized something of God's gifting that is on me. And I know that God's gifted me for a purpose. And so he opened the door for me. And so I'm still part of that church, and I minister wherever I get invited. And the exciting thing that makes my heart beat is to see people set free and restored and given a future and a hope, because that's what God tells us. And wherever we go, wherever I go, I see that there is a church and church people that still haven't got to that place of total freedom yet. And so it's phenomenal. That happens, but it's the truth. And those that are free and those that are going, God's got even more for them as well. So if I could just ask, if all the men could stand up. Now, when I say men, I mean anyone from 15 years and upwards. I would say maybe those are considered men. Would you mind standing up? Friends, look around the room. Look around the room, because this is like a rugby team. So in the prayer meeting this morning, I looked around and I saw these, you know, locks, and I saw the front row, and I saw a few of the others, and I saw one or two little, you know, the hookers and all the other weird and wonderful people that make up a rugby team. But you know what I felt like God was saying here is that you, as the rugby team, you stand, but you are here because you have got other people that are still sitting down, that are supporting you, that are encouraging you. Now, they also get to play the game, so don't think that this is a men-only thing. But I felt like God is wanting to just encourage you as men in this church, because it's out of what you guys are doing that everyone gets to play their part. It's out of what you have stood for and what you have fought for. And I know the women are also fighting for, and they have, but you know, women are generally the ones that are the prayers and the doers, and the men are kind of the thinkers and the dreamers. I don't know what the men do. They go into their nothing box. I know that. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, because together, this church is stronger because of not only the men, but the women that are sitting. And where the young people, under 20s, where are those young guys? And the girls. I want to encourage you guys. Do not look at yourself and say, when I am. God's anointing and his power and his authority is on you now. God wants to work with you now. He wants to work through you now in Jesus' name. Is that all right? And I want to just, you may sit down. Milan and Susie, I really just feel that God's favor is on you at the moment. I feel like God is saying, well done. Well done. Not just Milan, but Milan and Susie. I know this is a one flesh ministry. I know some churches, the women are sitting in the back row making the tea, and that's about it. But I know in this church that they are standing side by side with the men. And I want to encourage and commend you. Yeah, and I know sometimes she tries to put you in your place, but don't worry. I know. But I want to encourage you, because I really feel that you have sown well. You have. I see a line upon line, precept upon precept situation. I see a person who will not waver with what the fashion says. I feel like that there are times when these people are wanting to pull out their hair because they want to go in this direction, that direction, but you're saying, no, we're going to keep line and length. Sorry, I've gone from rugby into cricket. Sorry about that. But I feel like that's what you, there is a singular mind that's on you, Milan. And I want to encourage you and commend you, because the time is coming for sound doctrine to hold sway. And I want to encourage you. Let's give them a hand. Do you mind just coming? I'd love to pray for you. Is that all right? Guys, I've been given quite a lot of time, so I can just relax. And you too. Not often that Susie sits back, hey? No. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this couple. I want to thank you, Lord, for what they are investing into this place. I thank you, Father, that I feel the love that they have for this home, for this family. I feel that presence, that we want to see everyone getting over that river, Jordan, into the promised land. Father, and I pray, Lord, and Father, I thank you, Lord, even for Susie, Lord, that you use her to stir up. I see you going round behind, almost like a little Jack Russell, nipping at the heels, getting those people going, you're like a starter motor. And as a starter motor gets everyone going, then Milan is able to take them into that promised land. And I want to say, Father, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that this couple are not called only for Heartlands. Father, thank you, Lord, that this couple is called for the wider body. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you open the right doors for this couple to go into the further. And I know you're going to Lesotho, but Father, I thank you that they carry something, even your prophetic gift, Susie. I pray, Father, that you will open the right doors. Father, that those dreams that they have had, that they've said, yes, Lord, we want more, we want to go further, we want to go beyond. Father, I say, Lord, even from today, it's a new season. From today, it's a new season. And God, you're wanting to do something supernatural in them and through them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I get a bit excited. Where's my... All right. Oh, I have got a goodie up there. But I'm going to set my alarm just in case, because that's me. Okay. All right, you're all here. All right. Okay. So today I want to speak on in us, God in us, and God through us. And I'm excited to, I know that you have an involvement in the home, and I know you have an involvement in Lesotho, and I know that you have an involvement here. But I feel like that there is more. Look around the room. Look at these absolute diamonds that are sitting next to you. These people of that carry something of God's presence and his power. I feel like God is wanting to do something in you and through you. And as I stand here, I'm thankful that I'm submitted to Millen and Susie and the other elders of this place. So please understand that I'm here under their authority. Okay, I have to just say this. I know you're sitting there saying, oh my goodness, get on with it. But I know that there might be somebody who sits here wanting to know how is this all going to work. And I just want to encourage you. So I'd like to start about my grandson. My grandson, Joel, who's 18 years old, he went to Holland this year to go and do an internship in a church in Holland. And they took him over to the UK for a conference. And this is Joel's words. He says, I was in this conference, I was at this conference, and next thing this man came up to me and he said, you're a McKinley. And Joel, like, you know, huh? And he'd never met this man before in his life. And he said, oh, he says, well, you know, how do you know? And the man says, I know your grandparents. And I see the family resemblance. So there was something that he had recognized of the McKinley in that boy. In a totally different area, totally different country, totally different scenario, different flow of churches, but he saw something. There is something in our DNA that other people recognize. But in the same way, you and I, now listen to this, this is going to be mind-blowing for you because you didn't realize it. You and I carry God's DNA. If we are children of God, we carry his DNA. Genesis 1, 26 to 27 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals like the monkeys and the baboons, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In other words, women and men all together carry something of the image of God, something of his DNA. And he put it into our lives right from the start. And he proposed to give us something of his qualities so we would be recognized as his children. He invested into you. He has a plan for you as his child. He always has a plan for a future and a hope. Did you know that? In case you think life has come to an end or there's nothing more for you, I want to tell you, God says there's a future and a hope for you. God does not say, oh, sorry for you, you know, your time is up. Until he says the time is up, okay? Not when you say the time is up. Does that make sense? Or when somebody else tells you your time is up. I want to tell you, you carry on. You carry on. You know, I don't subscribe to getting old. All right? I am not getting, yes, I am getting older. I understand that. I know in the natural. But in here, I'm still 20. In here, I've still got lots to do. And so I want to encourage you that I carry God's DNA. And if that's what he's put in me, I'm sure he's put it in you as well. So be prepared. God always planned for us to live in the fullness of what he has for us. But unfortunately, or for whatever, Satan slithered in. I love that picture in Jungle Book. You know, Car. You know, Car? Anyone seen Jungle Book? Was that sinus problem? That's what Satan's like. He comes and he tries to wrap his coils around us. And he came along and he ended us with in brokenness and a fall. But God was like, yeah, all right, whatever. I've still got a plan. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say, oh my goodness, now what are we going to do? Back to the drawing board. We're going to have to. No, he already knew what the plan was. And because he is involved, every single human being is born with a heart-shaped void that only Jesus can fill. And doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you go to the Incas out in the South America or if you go to Outer Mongolia, you will find that there are people that still need Jesus. And only Jesus can fill that. But for us, born-again believers, our void has been filled. Isn't that wonderful? I'm a whole person because I have Jesus in me. And I have the powerful potential to fulfill his perfect plans for my life. And you know what, guys? I am unique. I am a one only. He's broken the mold. He did not make you like me. I am totally unique. Therefore, God's got a specific plan that only I can fulfill. Heesh. Isn't that amazing? Are you with me on that? That couple right at the back there, he's got a Borky Mania. Sorry, what's your, is that your wife sitting next to you? Would you mind standing? Are you part of this church? I'm glad you said that because I really feel that God is calling you and he's calling you further forward. I feel like you're sitting there in the back row and you're getting lost in the back row. You think you're comfortable. I feel like God is saying, I'm taking you out of that back row. I'm calling you further forward. I'm calling you on a journey. And I feel like it's like you've been, I'm just quite happy. I've put the barbed wire fence around here. I'm quite comfortable. But I feel like God is saying, no, I'm wanting to make you uncomfortable because I've got adventures for you. I feel like, I don't know if you have a passport, but I feel like God is saying, I want you to, you're going to be going beyond. You're not just going to be staying put. God's going to give you a heart to go beyond. Go to see the people outside, across the mountain, down the road, across the street. I feel that there is something on you as a couple. And darling, you are, something sometimes you can't keep up with him. But I feel like God is saying, no, don't worry, I'm going to give you those Nike shoes, you know, those special shoes that keep you going, girl. And I feel like that as you go, when you look behind you, you're going to start seeing there are people following you. Is that all right? Okay. Okay, so through Christ, God's DNA becomes visible in us. So we were at Heathrow Airport the one time. We had just arrived and we were tired and my husband didn't do aeroplanes very well because he's quite tall or he was quite tall. And so we just stopped. We said, okay, we had to wait for our car. So we had to wait for a specific time. So we said, let's have a coffee at huge cost. So we sat and had a coffee. And while we were at like a counter and all the other tables were full. And this man came along. And he said to us, do you mind if I come and sit next to you? So we said, yes, that's fine, no problem. And he then said, are you a Christian? So we said, yes. You know, we're thinking, how did he know? Yeah, we looked, did we have our Bibles out? No, nothing like that. So he says, no, he says, because I could just feel the peace around you here. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you go, you carry something of that. There is something of the DNA of Jesus that can change the atmosphere. Did you know that? You are an atmosphere changer. It doesn't matter where you go. Listen, when I go to FNB, excuse me if anyone works for them, I have had moments when I have lost my Christian witness. I have to honestly own up to that. But normally, if I go somewhere, I speak life. I speak encouragement. I want to go and I want to have a happy face. You know what? It's so much better for you. All the wrinkles get pulled away. So put on a happy face when you go anyway. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry. So Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5 puts it like this: "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." So he chose us to be his children. He predestined us to be adopted into his family. I'm not an orphan. I'm not an orphan. He predestined. That means he has a plan for us. Now, I don't know what the doctrine in this church is, but this is how I see it. So I'm submitting this. For me, predestination is God's got a plan. That's what he wants us to do, but he's also given us free will. And so I've still got a choice to choose yes or no. All right? You're happy with that? Okay. So the trouble is with free will is that I'm free to do my own will. You know, there's that old Rolling Stones song. I'm free to do what I want any old time. I know that's from the Ark, isn't it? Some of you don't even know who the Rolling Stones were, but anyway. Okay. And that's a trouble with free will. But God's still got a plan. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." So Jonah had free will. So when God said to him, "Go to Nineveh," that's the predestination picture coming in. He said, "No." Now, we know the end of that story, most of us. We know that Jonah actually ended up changing his mind. God leaned on him. And so sometimes God has to lean on us to get us to do what he wants. But he still had the choice to say no. He could have still said no. Okay? So we have to understand that. So what about you today? Look around the room. How good and well we heard of obedience. Millen spoke about that this morning. How obedient are you to God? Don't have to answer me that. But let me now just tell you about this perfect plan. Deuteronomy 28 lists all the benefits of obeying him. Psalm 68 verse 19, it reinforces it by saying he daily loads us with benefits. Loads us. You know, like when you do your grocery shopping. But we also see what happens if we don't obey him. Bible says in Deuteronomy 30:19, the NIV, it says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." You want a hint? Choose life. You know, it's like one of those kind of, you know, multiple questions, multiple choice. And then the teacher says, "Number 5, choose life." Each one of us has been given this choice. Some of us choose life early on, others kind of wait until the last minute. Don't wait until the last minute. Choose life, because you get more than just life when God's in it. You get blessings and abundance and prosperity and healing and wholeness, and he loads us with benefits. I love it. And he has predestined us to be his children. Romans 8:29, the New Living Translation says this: "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." That's who we are. "And having chosen them, he called them to come to him." Oi, oi, come on, I'm calling you. Sean, I'm calling you. There's a Betty here. I called Penny Betty yesterday. There's a Penny sitting behind Betty. God called you. God called us. And he didn't only say, "Okay, once you get to 21, then I'll call you." He calls us when we are small. My son was 16 when God put his hand upon him supernaturally and said, "I'm wanting you." And he's 40-something now, and he's still walking with the Lord. God calls us. Anyway, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So I walk along in the glory of God. Pew! I love it. I love it. God has predestined and chosen us, and we are in right standing. I could stop right there. But then, you know, you wouldn't hear the whole story, so let me carry on. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "No eye has seen and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." So, we don't, as if we don't have enough, he now also gives us a destiny. And then he says, "I've got good plans for you. Plans for, plans for good and not for evil. Plans for a future and a hope." I love that. I love the fact that God has got a future and he has got a hope for every single person in this room. Whether they are 3 years old or whether they are 90 in the shade, God's got a plan. So Joel carries this McKinley DNA that's recognized by others. In the same way, we as Christians, we carry the DNA that has been made alive in Christ. So we are chosen, we are called, we are adopted into his family, we have a destiny, and we have been given an inheritance. So I've just received my husband's inheritance. So I have a physical inheritance, but more than that, I've got a kingdom inheritance. And God has told me that I will go to the nations. And so I'm hanging out for that inheritance as well. As well. The inheritance is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. And for your information, that's Ephesians 1. Ooh, where is it? 13 to 14, in case you don't believe me. The Holy Spirit is the one that guarantees. It's that seal. Lawyer. Okay? There is a seal. There is that legal document. And there is a guarantee. Okay. Are you happy? But now there's more. Because God works in us. All right? He puts his DNA inside of us. But now he wants to work through us. And now, could we have that picture that I put up somewhere on the cloud? That one. God gave you a fingerprint. Please look at your fingerprints. God gave you a fingerprint that no one else has. In this room, there are no two people with the same fingerprint, so that you can leave an imprint that no one else can. You're going to meet and you're going to touch people that are this guy. What's your name? Gaba. Q. QR. Just Q, not R as well. Won't you stand up? You've got on your hat, "You love me," haven't you? Do you know that you got that? Now, who's loving you? The most important one is that God loves you. And I feel like God has got a plan for you. What do you do? What are you involved in? Okay. All right. So in other words, you are planning for the future, aren't you? And God takes that plan, and he's going to work it in your life, and he's going to work it through your life. And I feel like you're going to go into a place where I even see you starting a business. I see you speaking. I don't know if there are any business people here, but I feel like you're going to go and you're going to start a business. You're going to come to the leaders of the church, and you're going to say, "I need help in starting a business." And they're going to say, "How are they going to help?" they'll help you in maybe putting you with people that have an ability in that department. But I feel like as you keep walking uprightly in God, as you keep your integrity intact with the Lord, all right? As you keep that integrity, I feel like God is going to open some amazing doors for you. Does that make sense to you? And I feel like God is putting a creativity in you as well. I feel like there is something of creativity. I don't know if you paint or if you are in design, anything like that, but I feel like God is going to enlarge that aspect of your life. Is that all right? Okay. All right. So wait, just now he'll be coming along with his smart car and all the rest of it. Okay. All right. So I want to just say, don't think, oh, what am I? Who am I? I'm not important. When you look at yourself, because you have got this unique fingerprint. Edward Hale says this. He says, I am only one. He says, I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. What have you been saying, oh, no to? What have you been holding back on? When Millen and Susie say, let's do, and you're like, oh, no, I think I'm going to pass this one. I want to encourage you, because you might be the very person that's going to change how to be a split. You might be that person. I've got a friend, Louise. She lives up in Sanin. She's an Australian girl, and she came and she started working with the children that are in child-headed households and in difficult circumstances. And through her ministry, she ended up starting Scouts. And she is now, that area, they've got like this top Scout movement. Their teenage pregnancies have dropped dramatically. People leaving school are leaving school with some kind of qualification because one lady decided to put her money where her mouth was and she started to do something. There's another lady I know, Sandy. She was a preschool teacher, and she decided to go from, she was in Hong Kong at the time, she decided to go to Outer Mongolia to go and help with a church plant that was taking place. And because of her gifting, and because she started a little Christian preschool, the government officials saw how good their children were in her school and were very impressed. And because of that, and she was linked to the pastor, they didn't kick the pastor out of the country. We look at the pastor, we think he's the big guy. She was the key that kept the door open for them. Don't think, what can I do? You don't all have to jump up onto the platform and preach. But God might use you to open the door for someone else. John G. Lake, anyone heard of him? Yeah, we have, hey. John G. Lake was used in the healing gifting. And the result was that his city, Sepulchre in Washington, was voted the healthiest city in the USA during his lifetime. How about changing Hartebeers? How about, do you call it Hartebeers Put Dam? Do you call it, or do you, I know you call it Hartes. Hartebeers Put, yeah. So, Hartes. Okay, you, Heartlands Church, can change this area. Desmond Doss, anyone heard of him? Yeah, you might have seen the ghastly movie about him, Hacksaw Ridge, where he is involved. He was a Christian, Seventh-day Adventist, who went without a gun, because he refused to carry a gun, but he was a medic. And he saved 75 soldiers. 75 soldiers in one of the bloodiest battles. Because God had put something into his life. He didn't probably want to go to the war, but he had to. Edward Kimball. Are you getting the picture here? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. He taught another guy called D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became this amazing evangelist, and he ultimately influenced the conversion of a boy called Billy Graham. And Billy Graham is recognized to have communicated the gospel to more people than anyone else in history. Anyone else in history. What happened if Edward Kimball hadn't said, I'll be the Child Children's Church teacher? What would have happened? Yeah, maybe God could have used somebody else. What have you got in your hands that God can use? What have you said, oh, no, it's just, oh, thanks for the water. This is a miracle. What have you said no to that you could have done, that you should have done, but you thought, oh, no, it's just me. You looked in the mirror and all you saw was me. God's saying, but I have invested. So God has a, oh gosh, and one of my favorites, we were talking about it the other night, Robert Letourneur. He was a businessman. Well, first of all, he was an engineer, but he never finished school. And he got involved in what you would now know as Caterpillar, you know, heavy earth machinery. And he designed this, whatever it was, and he got into the situation where he started tithing more and more because God kept on blessing him. He says, I don't know what it's about. He says, I'm tithing. And let me just say right now, I don't know what you believe as a church, but I know from my life, I've tithed since being a Christian. My children tithe, my grandchildren tithe, because they have seen something of the principle of God working. And let me tell you, you can't outgive God. And I mean, that's just bringing back to God. But anyway, he started saying, well, look, I've got this money, so he upped his tithing. And he upped his tithing until he was eventually giving 9/10 of his income away into the kingdom. Why are businessmen needed in the kingdom? It's because your finance, when it's properly utilized, goes out and opens the doors for the gospel to go throughout the world. Do not despise it. Do not say, oh, well, you know, it's just what I can do. And yes, you can have your Maserati if you really want to, although on our roads, I wouldn't suggest it. I want to tell you right now, God is not against you being rich. Do you hear me? I'm going off at a bit of a tangent, but I feel you need to hear this. God is not intimidated by wealth. Hang, man, when you see that he owns the cattle on the thousand hills. When you see in the Bible, I mean, I've written out how much some of the gold is that they brought to build the temple. Let me tell you, it's astounding what those people had. It's astounding what some of those kings had. Wealth is nothing. You know, as somebody says, they're just paving stones. Gold is just paving stones up in heaven. So, all right. So God wants to use you. Whether it's your money or whether it's your talent, God wants to use you. He has a plan to work through you to change the world. Do you believe this? Look at the person next to you. Give him a bit of a nudge. You don't have to say anything, but they know that when you nudge them, they know that they've been told to kind of, sorry, am I going right out of the picture? I know at home I've got to be within a certain frame. They say, don't go further than that. Anyway, you in this room is potential for explosion out into the nations of the world. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to say, I've got these fingerprints, they carry this in the hand, I don't know what your gifting is, I'm ready to lift it up and say, yes, Lord. Are you ready for that? Or are you sitting there saying, oh my goodness, then they're going to make me come on staff? No, they won't, because they're quite happy as they are, but they do need people, and they haven't told me to say this, because more than them, God needs you. He has said in his word that only together with you will he make things perfect. Did you know that? You know, he could have done it all on his own. What he could have. But he said, no, I want a partner. I want a partner. So friends, I want to ask you a question. Have you got bogged down by life? And you started seeing, couldn't see the wood for the trees because just life has happened. And I want to say today, God's got a future for you. I want to say today, God is saying to you, what is in your hands? What is in your hands? What is the treasure that's inside of you? I believe that God wants us to do a little bit of business today. He wants us to look at our own lives, not our wives' lives, because most of us know exactly what our wife should be doing or our husband should be doing. I'm not saying that, or our kids for that matter. I feel like God is saying, no, what are you, I want to do some business with you today. Are you comfortable with that? If that is you, if you're saying, I know God has touched me, would you mind standing up? Because I feel God is wanting to do some work in this house and through this house into the more that God's got. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's Peter, hey? I really feel that you're a can-do guy. I feel like you are hey, what's all this fuss about? Let's get on and do it. You're that kind of guy. You're not looking at the issues. You're not looking at the problems. You're kind of like, you're thinking on your, you, I feel like you think on your feet. You're carrying on. And dare I say, your wife. I know she gives you a hard time. But I want to tell you, she'll go through the fire with you. She'll go up the mountain with you, down into the deepest hole with you. I get such a sense of this connection that you two have. And that's obviously your son. You're going to go on some adventures as well. And I feel like God is saying to you today, I'm saying this carefully, I'm elevating you. I'm putting you on the next level because I've got plans for you. Look around the room. Look around the room because there are people that are going to need your leadership. There are going to be people that you're going to have to kick up the backside. Sorry, did I say that out aloud? Gently, gently. There are people, you know, that's what we need as people. We need a shepherd. We need an encourager. We need to be surrounded by that cloud of witnesses, don't we? And that's what these people are. Some of them are leaders. Some of them are going to go in front of us. Some are going to go alongside us. But we need them because we need to be encouraged and reminded of what God has got for us. And Father, I thank you for this couple, that they, as they work alongside Millen and Susie, I thank you, Lord, that your plans are yes and they are amen. And don't sit back and say, well, I'm just not spiritual enough or I'm not this enough. I feel God is saying, no, I've called you as you are, Boyki, because you're my boy and I love you. Is that all right? I love you. And as he loves you, I see you love this boy. I see the love in this family. And young man, God's also got plans for you. Do not look back and say, oh, well, it's just me. All right. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for every single person who said, okay, I'm prepared to stand up. This is a vulnerable moment. But I'm going to pray right now. Shakaraba sebetiara. Raba shara sebetiara. Father, I pray, Lord, right now for your hand to be upon this church. Father, where the 20% would carry not only the 80%, but it'll be now the 80% carrying the 20%. Where, Father, that the men, the young men will come along and say, I don't know what I can do, but I can do. What do you want me to do? Where the older people will come, where the women will come, where they say, I want to, Father, that this is not a competition. This is not a competition about who's better or who's worse. It's about each one finding their place in that team. Each one, Father, I pray, Lord, Father, from the oldest people to the youngest people, Father, from the richest people to the poorest people. Lord, I pray, Father, right now, I just see even in terms of income and in terms of standard of living, I see this church taking a step up as a corporate body, taking a step up. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there will be no one here that'll go in lack. That there will be no one here that'll say, I don't have enough food on my table. That there'll be no one here that'll say, I can't pay my bills for my schooling, for my children's schooling. Because there'll be something of your provision in this land. There'll be something of your providing in this land. Father, and I know, Lord, because I've seen it so many times, it's so often not the rich person that helps. It's so often the poor little widow. Or the whoever. It's not the millions, although we all welcome the millions. Father, but we know, Lord, it's sometimes just that widow's mite. But Lord, I pray, Father, that out of this church will be known as a place of provision. It'll be a place known as a place of prosperity, and it'll be a place of providing and pushing, dare I say, pushing people into the more that God you've got for them. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your anointing upon them. I thank you, Father, for your fire that even now is stirring up in some of their bones. Those guys that are wanting to go on the groot trek, they want to go beyond. They want to get up and they want to get on that aeroplane. Father, I pray, Lord, right now. Father, we know Lesotho LTT or Equip Time is coming up. There's a Gauteng coming up. Father, there's places there. Spain is having an Equip if you're interested in going there. Lord, I thank you, Father, for these people that are saying yes, Lord. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray your prosperity in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your love. Because first and foremost and most important, they are your children. And they are loved by you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here that is needing prayer for healing? Is there anyone here? Would you mind coming forward? I really feel God wants to pray. I've been saying, Lord, have you got any? Sometimes I get aches and pains here and there, but sometimes I don't. So then I know God wants to heal. So I'd really like to pray. But I know I'm going to hand over to Milan, I think. Because otherwise I'll go on forever and you'll be sleeping here tonight.
Okay, so we're going to pray for these folk in the front. Please come forward if you're feeling to be prayed for anything. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, just the release. We'll close the meeting now, just in a quick prayer, and then you can enjoy coffee if you want to, but we're going to continue to minister to these folk here. Okay, Father, thank you for the encouragement of your word today. Thank you for Tanya's word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit touching our hearts and challenging us. And I pray that we'd see great fruit coming out of this day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, friends.